everybody. This is Armand DeMille.
And this is Roberta Maria Atti.
With you at The Positive Mind here on WBAI, 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, things to think about. And this week starts our marathon week, which is our fundraising week here at WBAI, where we gather together to do fantastic programming. But so this will be the very last one of our regularly scheduled programs for a month. So today we wanted to bring you something very exciting. And you'll find out about our other programs coming up. But today we're talking about something that has always been a thing of contention. You know, the animal kingdom has always supported the idea of male domination. It's always, you know, Darwin would look back, so would Kinsey, and say, you know, the issue of male domination is supported by all of the animals, and it's just a matter of survival of the fittest. The feminist movement has had to contend with this fact through all of its efforts to try to bring equality to women. And that it had to contend with the fact that, you know, men would keep throwing up, but that's natural for a man to be dominant. Well, that's what we thought. We thought this was the nature. Our nearest, look at the gorillas, look at the apes, look at all the other animals. They do it that way. We men, we defend our right to do it the same way as our...
Do you mean to say, Armand, we justify human behavior by looking at what apes do and finding similarities?
Yeah, because we're supposed to be very closely related to the apes.
Right.
And so we'd say I'm an alpha male, and therefore I have a right to want to have sex with a whole harem of females.
Mm-hmm. And I have a right to be aggressive and assertive and all that.
Now, a little belated, we learn that it's not all true. The closest living animal relative is an animal within whose culture the female is clearly dominant. Now, this is really a fascinating program today, because today we're going to bring you some issues about the culture, about females, about men, about women. You're going to hear it all in here, and we're going to teach you something about sex that is just mind-boggling when you think of it. What's been discovered over the last few years is that a relatively unknown ape called the bonobo... Why do you laugh?
Because just the name is kind of interesting.
Bonobo?
Bonobo.
Bonobo.
Say it three times fast.
Bonobo, bonobo, bonobo.
Very good.
Bonobo. Bonobo, which is pronounced the same in Italian. The bonobo, the unknown ape known as the bonobo. Why is this the closest to us? Well, first of all, why haven't we talked about the bonobo before? Well, Roberta and I certainly have made reference to it because of its sexual activity. But 98% of our genetic profile, get this, 98% matches identical to the bonobo. 98%. The bonobo is as close to a human as a wolf is to a dog.
You almost can't tell them apart.
Almost can't tell them apart. Very little difference. Until now, we saw ourselves being descendants of the chimpanzees because of their style of tool use, power politics, primitive warfare, the way they were hunters and so on and so forth. The chimp, which we thought was our closest living relative, is not a very peaceful animal.
Well, and in fact, I think that for a long time, the bonobos were mistaken for... A variation on the chimpanzee, because they look very similar, but the bonobos are more graceful looking.
They're more human looking.
More slender. They are more graceful in the way they move, and they look slightly different.
They have smaller heads on smaller shoulders.
But it wasn't until not much more than 100 years ago that actually the two of them were really separated, the chimpanzees from the bonobos. as two separate species.
Not that many bonobos around. Mm-hmm. They seem to all come from the Congo, and they seem to have evolved in, you know, while the chimpanzees spread out among the savannah and kind of left the protected tree environment, and so had adapted, therefore, in a warlike hunting way. You know, they became real predators. Monkeys, chimps would go around trying to catch a monkey to eat. You know, monkeys would go around. What's the difference between a chimp and a monkey?
The chimp is an ape, and the monkey is a monkey.
Okay, so...
So the chimps, the gorillas, the bonobos, and I believe the orangutans, those are apes. And the rest of monkeys are monkeys. So apes are monkeys, but they're a kind of monkey.
But we're not descendant from the monkey because there's too much of a variation. But supposedly we are a lot like
the human is actually an ape. Is one of the apes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know something interesting, Armand, I read about how sensitive bonobos are, which may explain why there are not that many left. That I read that during the war in Germany, there were some bonobos in a zoo alongside with chimpanzees. And when the bombing was going off, the chimpanzees would get excited and they would make a lot of noise, but, you know, basically they would get over it. And the poor little bonobos would die from fright. So bonobos are very sensitive and delicate and very fragile, much more so than the other apes. That may explain why there aren't a whole lot, even in Congo where they live, there aren't that many left today. Maybe between 5,000 and 10,000.
The interesting thing about the bonobo, as we learn about this, is that the bonobo also not only gets frightened easily, but he also has another incredible mating behavior, which we're going to describe. Now, we're going to go into this, but before we do, let's get a little bit of the remarkable things, what makes notice of the bonobos and how you see them. The main thing about the bonobos is they have sex a lot.
They have sex all the time. They have sex with everyone. They have sex in groups, in couples, in threesome, in foursome. They do whatever they do, sex is part of it. Whether it's feeding or walking around or foraging or communicating, there's always some kind of sexual behavior involved.
When we say sexual behavior, we don't just mean touching. We mean something akin to an orgasm, going to an orgasm. And the other thing about the bonobos is they have sex in a missionary position. Mm. I mean, these are face-to-face having sex people, not the standard old throw it over, you know, the rock. And
right. In fact, some of the pictures are that we saw, you know, as we were doing this research, are remarkable because they're human. They're so similar to humans that, in fact, one of the original researchers, an anthropologist who was describing the bonobos' behavior, was differentiating them from the chimpanzees by saying the chimpanzees mate like dogs and the bonobos mate like humans. And indeed, when you see how they mate, they have a way of engaging with one another that is so similar to what humans do that is kind of striking, the incredible resemblance. And the missionary pose, which is face-to-face pose, that I know of, Armand, aside from humans, they're the only ones.
The only ones who do it. Face-to-face, standing up, they have sex standing up. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of different sex, and they have sex games. But, you know, Roberta was saying it's part of everything. You have a meal. Let's say food is thrown in a... In the center of a room, and they have bonobos all over the place. You know what they do before they eat? They have sex.
Mm-hmm.
Find somebody, have sex, and then after sex, go and eat.
Well, and it's interesting, the scientists that are researching the bonobo's behavior are saying that one reason could be that sex and food are adjoined in the brain, which is something I've always sustained. Another reason is that wherever there's food, there could be competition, aggression, fighting. So these apes have figured out that if they have sex before they get to the food, they're going to eliminate a lot of the fighting, because by the time they get to the food, they've had some really good sex, and so they're relaxed and happy and they love each other. They're not going to fight over the food, which is exactly what happens. They don't fight.
Who's going to fight over the last piece of pizza after you've made love? You
exactly.
know what I mean? Oh, you have it, honey. No, you have it, honey.
Just like that.
Just like that. The other thing about the chimp that's kind of remarkable is that the chimp is a violent animal, you know, mm-hmm. and this is, we consider ourselves, if you ever think it's nice and cute to go up to a silverback and they're out there and you say, oh, what a cute animal, I think I'll go up and pet it. No, these aren't stuffed animals. Violence is part of the chimp existence. I mean, violence in many ways. For example, in food eating, the bonobo eats mostly like the chimp does, like fruits and vegetables, lots of it, lots of fruit. They love fruit. But then second to that, the chimp will hunt out and look for meat.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It'll eat other animals. It'll
chimps will gang up in 4, 5, 6 chimps will go out and hunt other monkeys and kill them and eat them. Not bonobos.
Bonobos don't do it. If they eat meat at all, they do it almost like it's a, like if an animal got trapped inside their cave.
Yeah.
You know, they would say, oh, okay, let's eat it.
If they find it, but they're not out there killing anything, right?
So the violent nature of the chimpanzees, which have been known to be our ancestors, compared to the, peace-like nature of the bonobos is interesting, especially when you think that we are 90% like the chimps, but 97% like the bonobos. So it's kind of remarkable, this difference. Chimps are as different from bonobos as a jet plane is to a seaplane, you know, one of mm-hmm. the little motor things. There's such a broad difference between them in so many different ways, and here we've discovered, and the primary difference is in this female domination of the species, of the group. And we're going to talk about how the females dominate the group. It's not, they don't dominate, you know, it's not like a terror. It's just that they're the ones in charge. Roberta, how?
They're in control, yeah. Well, so let's start by saying, for instance, that with the other apes like the gorilla, we have a silverback, we have a male who has a group of females, it's called a harem, and this group of females are his females, and he will not allow any other male to come near his females. That's his territory, his females, that's it. And gorillas,
and by the way, the harem style, not only among gorillas, but when you think about the bull or the rooster,
the
with many chickens, and the horses, mm-hmm. you know, the one stallion.
It's very common, yeah.
It's common, and it's automatic. The male fights off challengers. If the challenger wins, he gets all the girls.
And see, the problem with that, if it is a problem, but the sad part, in my opinion, is that males will kill each other. They will fight to the death if the intruder does not leave. The silverback will kill it, or the intruder will overtake the silverback. So it's a fight to the death, and so is with chimps, although they have a different structure. Chimps will live together. The males will live together in a group, and they will have a number of females that live with them, and then those males know each other from birth, and they only will tolerate each other because they know each other. They're all part of that family, and that's the only male that is tolerated. An intruder will be killed immediately. Now, with bonobos...
Right, before the bonobos, so just get this as an idea. With a silverback, a gorilla, you know, you imagine a club, a dance club, where there's one male and a bunch of females, and they're all dancing, and they could dance with this male or not dance with it. No other man is let in. Another female could come in, but no other man is let in. If he comes in, immediately the silverback takes out a rifle and shoots him.
Yes.
It was a rifle-bearing silverbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Got that
right.
Image?
Right.
Okay, now let's take the chimps. The chimps, they have a dance club. They have a disco.
Mm-hmm.
And in their disco, they have a bunch of males and a bunch of females. Now, any of the males can have any of the females, and any of the females can have any of the males, with a couple of little exceptions about, you know, the AE or who's on top.
Right, the hierarchy, right.
The hierarchy. But it's generally, it's okay. Another female walks into the club, we'll welcome her in. She could come in just like the apes do. But a male walks in, chew him up.
A strange male will be killed.
He'd be killed right away. He comes in, he says, oh, I thought I was going downtown and I wound up in this club. You know, buddy, you're not supposed to come in this club.
And you know,
you'll have no dancing here.
And the explanation for that is that the males will protect their genetic stock. And so Darwin says, well, it's because survival of the fittest. And if the male who comes in is too weak and gets killed, that means that his genetic stock is not strong enough and should not be handed over to the next generation. You know, there's that whole theory that there's a reason for this fighting and killing. It is because we want only the best of the best to survive. But that's being questioned now. If it's
because
really
the bonobos
true.
Do it.
Right. The bonobos have figured out
now
a different way.
What happens in the bonobo disco?
In the bonobo disco, what we have
first of all, the woman's running the show.
First of all, the females are in charge of who comes and goes. And everybody's very relaxed as far as who hangs out with whom, meaning that some people leave, some people come. I mean, some individuals will go, some individuals will come into the group, some individuals will leave and go to a different group. And no one gets too upset. Now, if one of the males starts to act up aggressively or he starts to show signs of wanting to beat somebody up, guess what the females do? They get together, the group of females, and they will surround this male who is acting up, and they will have sex with him and calm him down so that he's not going to make any problem for anybody. And then they go back to their business of dancing. Or
NYPD, where are you?
Right. What a great idea.
NYPD, what an idea. So get this
the
now.
The females control everyone's behavior through this constant, loving, sexual, expression, and it works.
Just like the humans, the female bonobo is capable, is in estrus all the time.
All the time, yes.
So she can always have sex. They have, and the way they have sex is fascinating. Now, this is female with female.
Female with female has almost
very frequent.
Almost as much, or if not more, sexual exchange as female with male.
And how do they do it?
They rub against each other.
And it's really a rubbing against each
other.
They
really rub. And it seems that, let's say that two females have never met each other, and all of a sudden they meet face to face on a tree where there's only one piece of fruit. Well, in a different kind of species, you might imagine that the two would go at each other to try to get the fruit first. The bonobos, the two females, will look at each other, will meet face to face, rub against each other, rub their genitalia, I mean, express, you know, make sounds that express joy and pleasure, because that's what they do as well, and then they will share the fruit. So we have a behavior here that perhaps we should have been a little bit more attentive to, rather than observing, you know, the other style where you have the chimp with the big stick that hits the other chimp over the head with it. I think that this is a fascinating way of handling discord and conflict.
One of the things they found about bonobos is that they're not as violently adaptable as the chimps. I mean, the chimps use tools. The bonobos don't use as many tools. They're not as trained in it. They're not trained in aggressive warfare. You don't need to learn things, but they are very quick to learn sign language.
Yeah, they can learn.
They are even quicker than the average ape in learning how to do things. So it's an intelligent group, just not trained in that thing. Now, we got to talk about the boys. The boy bonobo.
The bonobo boy?
The bonobo boy. Because I say boy because he stays attached to his mother.
That's fascinating.
All the time. So look, part of the secret here of how the women dominate is the boy is always attached to his mom. Could you talk about that?
Sure. Well, what's been observed is that females, with all the apes groups, females are the group that are the gender that emigrates, that leaves the group. So females individuals don't really bond with each other except for mother and son. Mother and son in the bonobos is a bond that never breaks, meaning that for as long as the mother of a male is alive, he stays with her. And that is because she will protect him from other males. Now, let's go back to what I said before. Remember what I said? I said in apes and monkeys, males, usually when you look at the ratio of male to female, you will find that there's a lot more females than males. Males get killed all the time. So males are scarce because they die. They die of fighting. With bonobos, the ratio of male to female is equal because males don't get killed. Why don't they get killed? Because the mother of the male will live with him and stay with him and protect him. Why? She gangs up with the other females, and if anything threatens him, she and the other females will have sex with whatever the threat is and get rid of it.
You know, you just, hey, I just walked into this neighborhood. What's going on here?
What
know,
a great
hard,
idea.
It's hard. It's hard. It's hard to think about it and not make fun of it. But, you know, there's so much information here. There's so much information about us, about the way we contact each other. Now, the females are allowed to stray away from the home. They're encouraged to stray.
Sure, because
so again, you know, this model of the man's job is to get up and leave his home and go out and master the universe. It's really shaken by this thing that we're looking at. It, according to what we see here, the man's safest place is at home with his mama. And maybe that's why we choose. That's why we humans may choose. You know, Roberta, that's maybe why we humans choose to be married. Because, you know, bonobos don't get married. But what we do, in effect, is what the men do is when they mate, they take a single person and they may create their mama at home.
Well, I mean, in a way, yeah, I think that is what happens. So by being in a bonded couple situation like that, you ward off competition or behaviors that could be dangerous.
And, you know, the psychiatric belief that men are always looking for their mothers in the woman that they date. Okay, well, maybe it's true. Maybe what we have been looking for as men is not an equal, not a partner, but a mama. You know, a mama to be there, because we, as our bonobo ancestors will tell you, feel only safe when we're close to our mother's breast. And this closeness is inborn.
Right.
This closeness is our it's our thing. It's what we do. It seems to be inbred.
Right.
And it seems to give us a lot of information.
Right. Well, I think it's fascinating that in the bonobos, it's not that the females are aggressive and dominant. It's that they will not tolerate that behavior in males. And in order to prevent males from killing each other or from becoming aggressive, the females have figured out, A, that by having a lot of sex with everyone, The sex will diffuse a lot of the tension and competition and aggression, and will turn it into social, you know, socially acceptable behavior. And B, the females have figured out that if they support each other in this policing, let's call it, of the group, the males will not kill each other. And this is I think it's a brilliant idea. And I mean, I'm coming to conclusions that are my own conclusions. I'm not saying that this is why these apes behave this way, but what else could you, I mean, what other conclusion could you come up with after observing how successful bonobos are? You know, they wouldn't be, they would be really successful in surviving if it weren't for the fact that we're destroying their habitat.
I'm not so sure they would be successful because, you know, among them, they do live in a violent environment. They do have outside those trees, they do have other chimps that will certainly go and eat them.
Oh, no, what I mean is...
They have no defense, really.
No, what I mean is within
their own... Imagine
an
ape coming after you to try to eat you, and you try to have sex with him, and he says, what do you think I am? Right? Which we should say, by the way, you know, male-to-male sex is very, very much easy,
they play
part of the bonobos, yeah, although the female-to-female is more often. Female-to-female is almost as often as female-to-male.
Right.
Male-to-male is less. But you know one of the ways they like to play?
It's called penis fencing.
I
didn't call it that.
They don't call it. One of the scientists did.
Yeah, Dr. Wall, W-A-A-L.
Blame him.
Franz Wall, who is a psychologist, by the way, with Emory University. He studied the bonobos for 10 years, and he calls it penis fencing. And he says when two males are in a squabble, they may be seen to, you know, make faces at each other, and then they will hang from the branch face to face, and they will be having an erection, and they will be fencing with their penises until they ejaculate, have an orgasm, and then they'll be off to feed together. So what we're seeing here is behavior that maybe, Armand, what I think is this ape has not been discussed and talked about and used as a role model because people have been so embarrassed about this. I mean, even if you look at the articles that we were researching, some of them are entitled sex-crazed ape shows a similarity with human beings. Sex-crazed ape. This is not a crazy monkey. This is actually, seems to me, a very creative and sensitive idea that they came up with. But I think we've not been hearing a lot about bonobos because it's almost embarrassing for people to talk about how many positions these apes have sex in and how much sex they have on any given day with one another.
And we're going to discuss that as soon as we get back from our break. We're going to take a short break. And by the way, all of our new reference material is going to be accessible. You know, if you want to know where we get our information, we're going to find ways of putting our articles that we research on our website as well so that you can read them as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could go find this information. We'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes. When we come back, we'll play you a little music, and then we will continue our discussion. That's Brent Lewis with the Earth Tribe. Brent Lewis, in an album called The Primitive Truth. Brent Lewis is a true friend of WBAI, amazingly creative percussionist. Seemed appropriate for what we're talking about. This is Armand DeBille with Maria Roberta Atti, right here at WBAI 99.5 FM in your dial. And we're bringing you information about our discovery, and not only our discovery, but a recent discovery about the potency of the bonobos.
This actually appeared on the Scientific American.
Yeah, it was in a number of places. And anybody who's out there, just throw bonobo in your search engine and you're going to learn a tremendous amount.
Yes.
What it basically points to is the reason the bonobos come to our attention is because of the amount of sex they have. Now, we're going to talk about the sex they have, but there's far deeper implications than just the sex here. Well, how do they have sex, Roberta? This is what I think we should say.
Well, it seems that the bonobos include some sexual expression, sexual behavior in everything they do. Their sexual encounters don't last very long, about 13 seconds for a whole session, mating session, and that is when it's real sex. When it's just a quick exchange, it could be something like two females, let's say, meet on a branch face to face, and they might find a way to position themselves so that their genitalia is rubbing against each other, and they seem to come to orgasms. Judging from what they express vocally and facially, they seem to have a good time doing this.
They have expanded genitalia when they are fertile.
I mean, it says in the article that the pink swelling signals the willingness to mate, but it also means that the female is fertile. But these bonobo females actually seem to be interested in sex all the time, and not just with males, but a lot of it with other females. In fact, this is how female to female they express bonding, loving. This is how they communicate with each other. They put their arms and legs around each other and they rub against each other. Now, this is the only other species that mates face to face, and not only female to female, but male to male. Now, we also have read that they engage in a lot of oral sex, and they do French kissing, which means tongue kissing. They kiss tongue to tongue. Now, my suspicion, Armand, is that this bonobo species has not been talked about, like I was saying before, because teachers in universities would be embarrassed about describing this ape's behavior. Their sexuality is so expressive and so continuous, and the females are so sexually in charge, meaning that they seem, through their sexual behavior, they seem to control not just the behavior of other females, but the behaviors of the males as well, that it's quite a remarkable group of apes.
You know, Roberta, it brings to me this thing that I think is, and I may be just glorifying us, but I think the humans are caught, the human species is caught in an evolutionary conundrum. Here we are, we look at ourselves and we say, do we behave like bonobos, which are sensitive animals who are easily hurt, who love to play, and are free sexually. Now, who is that? Well, if you're thinking about any of the hippies from the 60s and 70s, there was a drive. It was almost like we were trying to become bonobos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were going there. And then, on the other hand, as seen in Chicago during the elections, we had the apes, on the other hand, who were trying to be apes, the ones with the billy sticks who were coming over and hitting the kids who are, you know, standing there at the convention saying, no, it's not fair. And I think you had two groups. I think you have some people who feel the inner pressure to become a chimp, an aggressive, violent animal, because it's instinctual, and another group that has this kind of bonobo thing. Then I think it goes even further. I think within that evolutionary conundrum that we experience on a subconscious level, not a conscious level, not an unconscious level, I think we attempt to try to find a peaceful way, and many of us who look for this kind of permanent mating, we'll look for these, and we kind of establish relationships, because, you know, nowhere else is there in most of the animal kingdom is there this thing about relationships. But we look for relationships. We want one person, man to man, woman to woman, man to woman, whatever it's going to be, we want a bond. I think that that's an attempt in some way to try to find the missing element. I think mothers want to find children. And I think children want to find mothers. And I think the boys want mothers. And I think even in the gay relationships, in the homosexual relationships, you're looking for a mother or you're looking for a child, as I've seen, just as I see in all relationships. So I think this kind of evolutionary conundrum kind of appears in so many different ways. Do we want, you know, how many of us are saying, you know, it's essential that you eat meat the chimpanzee way, right? Go out there and hunt and beat up another monkey, go beat up a monkey and eat him. That's your way, hunt and make war. Whereas another group is saying, no, let's go the vegetarian way, which is more like the bonobo. The bonobo, they eat meat very rarely. You know, if somebody brings over a hamburger, they may say, oh, yeah, hamburger, okay, I'll have it. But mostly they're into vegetarian foods.
Mm.
And I think, again, the struggle we're having with trying to eat, trying to become vegetarians because we recognize the violence that goes with meat eating, I think that's, again, the same evolutionary thrust that we're feeling. So I think between sex and love, I don't want to become a bonobo. I don't want to become a chimpanzee. I'd like to become a human who is free of all of the imperatives that tell me I'm not allowed to be peaceful, you know, which are there. I mean, they're there because nobody would have survived. I think even the battle between cultures now, what they call the battle between cultures, where we have the people who are monogamous are fighting against the religions that are polygamous.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I'm supposed to stay with my mother and you're not supposed to have all those female, it's just like the same thing. It's the same primitive struggle.
It's interesting, Armand. The what I look at is the fact that in a culture that is more, let's say, ape-like, like the chimps, you have a lot less males versus females. Meaning, like I said before, that the males kill each other. For that reason alone, my preference would be to live in a culture more like the bonobos, because I like to keep our males alive. I don't like it now when I hear that soldiers get killed in Iraq, and you know, every time I hear this young man was killed, and I think about his mother, and I think exactly, I think about his mother, because, and you know, Armand, when the war began, and Henry, my son, started getting these cards from the army to invite him to join, I said, Henry, I cannot tell you what to do, you're free to go, but mind you, if you go to Iraq or wherever you want to go, if you do, I'm going with you. I'm not going to let you go alone. So I feel like a bonobos, meaning that if I knew that my son is in a battle, I would be right there with him. I would not let him go alone because I would want them to kill me before they kill him. So I don't want our males to die, Armand. That's my feeling. I'm not here to judge the meat eaters. I'm not here to judge the people who feel that they should protect their females, guard them from other males with clubs and you know, I don't object to that. But boy, you know, I just wish that these young men didn't get killed. And the bottom line is, in the bonobos, the males don't get killed.
No, they live to 60 years old.
That's the main difference, Armand. In the chimps, the males get killed. That's what I... And you see, when you're saying, where are humans going? Well, I've read somewhere that males are eventually going to be extinct. I don't know if you've read it as well. I think we talked about it, that males in the human species are doomed. I don't like that. And if this is the reason why... If this is one of the reasons why, then I say the bonobos are teaching us something very important.
There's a chance. There's just a genetic chance, if you think about it. If there's one gene, you know, Roberta recently discovered an organization that tracks your DNA, goes back all the way back in time, you know, and finds out where your family came from through your DNA. Whether it's valid or not, whether they just say, you know, send out formula 429, or whether it's true, we will soon have ways of tracking our DNA back to our ancestry and know that it's accurate and know that it's true. The trouble is, as I see it, or what I think might have happened is, some of us got the bonobo gene, and some of us got the chimp genes, and some of us got half bonobo, half chimp, and some of us got half, two-thirds chimp and one-third bonobo. And I think that's what we're seeing among people.
Yes.
We're seeing an evolutionary struggle. We're seeing people trying to find their way. I mean, why would you want to be out there and you feel this? Why can't we just be free and make love with each other? That happened in the 70s. Where do you think that came from? Where was that? The invention of the pill made that happen? I don't think so.
It's in our genes.
It was a pressure that was coming inside that was just saying, please, let's find another way. Make love, not war.
Mm.
It's a bonobo, you know,
bonobo's
slogan, right? It would hang from their trees.
It's their bumper sticker, yes.
Yeah, make love, not war. Mm. In some of the bonobo vehicles.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Well, Armand, I think the bonobos really have a lot to teach us, and so do the chimps. And I want to express my gratitude for the researchers who bring us these studies and this information, because there's so much to learn from observing these animals, and I sure hope we find a way to protect them all, because it seems like, unfortunately, human expansion is threatening their habitats, both the chimps and the bonobos, and that's just very sad. Now, let me just say, Armand, you asked me before, how do they have sex? Well, hear this. Male bonobos engage in pseudo-copulation, which is pretending to have sex. But generally, they perform it like this. Standing back-to-back, one male rubs his scrotum against the buttocks of another male. And when they get tired of that, they get to the penis fencing, which is the one I described before, where they hang face to face from the limb, and with an erection, they fence. They pretend to fence.
Fence, but you know, it's also, I mean, it looks like fencing, but I can see it as stroking. You know,
right.
They're stroking each other.
I guess Dr. Wall described it as fencing because it looks like that, just to give the idea of how it happens. Well, you know, Armand, that really is quite something, because where else do you find a species where males accept each other like this to the point where they engage in a pseudo-sexual behavior to play with one another rather than to kill each other over a female or over a piece of meat, over a piece of, you know, some kind of food. Not to mean that all males are brutes, but this behavior, I've only read it described in this way with the bonobos. I've not read of any other animal where males are this friendly with each other.
When two groups of bonobos,
except for humans, of course.
When two groups of bonobos meet in some common place and they haven't seen each other before, their first behaviors, when they meet each other, they will bond sexually. They will greet each other first. Then they bond sexually, and they share food instead of fighting. Sounds like Woodstock.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it sounds like, yes. All right, let's, yes. Sounds like Woodstock.
Right.
Almost any conflict between bonobos is quickly eased by sexual activity, grooming, or sharing food. It's not always sex, by the way, but sex is almost always a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, you know, there's also...
And the other thing I found interesting was in chimps and gorillas, most apes, if there is food to be had, the dominant male will eat first to his content. Only once he's fed will the females or the submissive or the less dominant males be allowed to eat. Not so in the bonobos. In the bonobos, the females eat first. They share it together while they're having sex. First they have sex, then they eat, then they have sex again. And the food is shared. It's not that one eats first and the other one has to wait. And also the behavior with less dominant individuals in the bonobos is not the behavior that we've seen with chimps and gorillas where there's an individual who is weaker. He's not allowed to eat or do anything. In the bonobos, everyone's allowed to do everything, to eat, to feed, to do whatever they need to do. This kind of freedom, yes, reminds me of Woodstock. The first time I saw that movie, I thought, why isn't the world... Why isn't everyone like that? But I mean, yes, Armand, there are some problems in that behavior too. I mean, but man, I'm just so tired of this fighting. I'm just so tired of this killing. I am.
Well, you know, it becomes an interesting question, Roberta, because again, you know, here among women we have, one thought that people had is men are like chimps. Women are like bonobos because of their sensitivity, because of that. But it's not true. Women are very much like chimps as well.
Sure.
Because the jealousy, the fighting, the getting at each other's throats, the fear of losing your position to somebody else. Again, I think we all have in us genes that are related to the chimps, which are those aggressive, self-centered needs, and genes that are related to the bonobos, and we have a kind of a genetic choice. Mm. Which direction do we want to go with? So if you sit there and if you criticize people and you feel negative in your mind and you think you got to beat up on people, and if you're a jealous kind of person, you say to yourself, that's my chimpy. That's the chimp me.
That's the chimp in me.
He's a chimp me. And then if you suddenly look at a sister, you know, if you're a woman who meets somebody who comes down the street, okay, well, maybe, you know, you're not going to have sex with her, but certainly a greeting, a hug. You know, look at what they do. Women, when they are kind, they kiss each other.
Yeah.
They greet each other. So maybe it's not sex, but it's more of a reflection of a physical contact.
Yeah, but actually, I can think of most of the times I meet a woman who's a good friend, I hug and kiss her, sure.
Yeah.
And she hugs and kisses me, sure. And that's that's normal. That's and I think that kind of expression of love, Armand, we need, I don't know, let's make love not war. That's what I have to say today.
And the men who greet each other, there are men in their own bonobo way, the many men who now hug each other for the first time.
In Greece, men kiss each other and hug each other like women do, and it's not considered unusual. And I remember hearing people in, you know, describe that behavior as odd, and yet, well, I don't know. I'm in favor.
Well, Greece is closer to Africa,
mm-hmm.
right? We got to jump a couple of oceans to get here. Anyway, this is Armand DeVille with Roberta Mariotti. We have to be going now, but let me remind you about the upcoming weeks. From now through July, through October 29th, WBAI will be in its fundraising mode, during which time they provide very special programming. And there's just some remarkable stuff to listen to. We encourage you to support the station as much as you can. We expect to be on. Look for us either on Tuesdays or Wednesdays, either on the 7th or the 17th or the 14th. I'm not sure which, because we haven't gotten our assignments yet. But somewhere along that line, we will be presenting some 2 or 3 hour specials on some subject that we will dig up that you'll find fascinating. So you're going to have to look at WBAI.org to find out what the schedule is, or check in at my website, thepositivemind.com, and we'll try to tell you, try to keep you up with what's available or when the programming is going to be. Until then, my friends, if you wanted to talk to Roberta Mariotti,
my website is www.creativehealthsolutions.org.
And until that time, make love, not war.
There you go.
You know, be a bonobo. Go do some research on it. You're going to find it's really fascinating. I think it's something you could look into.
Yes.
ThePositiveMind.com, you can take a look at that. You can send me an email, armand@brainlink.com. And even though we won't be with you on a regular schedule, if you need to reach us, we always respond to crisis. So give us a call back. Nice to speak to you, my friends. I will play with you now a little more of Brent Lewis's Earth Tree
Tribe.
Rhythms, The Primitive Truth.
Mm.
Positive Mind with Armand DeMille and Roberta Mariotti right here on 99.5 FM WBAI. We're available on the web at WBAI.org, and you can check that website and find out about the radio station in general, the upcoming fundraising drive that begins tomorrow at 6 a.m., how to connect with us and contact us, and also how you can participate as far as getting on Talkback with Hugh Hamilton. If you're not able to get through on the phone, you can log on to our website, WBAI, and pose your questions to Hugh Hamilton. That program, Talkback, will be coming up at 3 p.m. right after the Tuesday Arts Magazine. That's upcoming here on WBAI. Armand DeMille and The Positive Mind will be back on the air Tuesday, October 10th from 1 to 3 p.m. for his and your first foray into fundraising for this fall fundraising drive here on 99.5 FM WBAI.
Equal time for free thought and Seven Stories Press present Right and Wrong, The Ethics of Terrorism.
There has been no week where the United States has not been engaged in one nation or another since the beginning of the century.
Palestinian people have a moral right to their terrorism. in historic Palestine against the ethnic cleansing of Neo-Zionism.
Join Professor Stephen Bronner and Professor Ted Hondrick as they discuss the ethics of terrorism, the fate of democracy, and how we can achieve a more humane society. Wednesday, October 4th at 7 p.m. at the Brecht Forum, located at 451 West Street between Bank and Bethune in Manhattan. Donations towards this event are on a sliding scale rate. All proceeds will be evenly split by WBAI and the Brecht Forum. For more information, contact the Brecht Forum at 212-242-4201.
That's a joint collaboration between the producers of Equal Time for Free Thought and Seven Stories Press. Right and Wrong, the Ethics of Terrorism. That number again, 212-242-4201. It's a fundraiser for WBAI and the Brecht Forum. WBAI begins its fall fundraising drive tomorrow at 6 a.m., beginning with Wake Up Call, and please participate. We're located at 120 Wall Street. If you can come down to the radio station and help answer phones, bring some photo ID, and come on up to the 10th floor. If you made a pledge in previous fundraising drives and have not received your thank you gift, please call the premiums department here at WBAI, 212-209-2800. Ask for the premiums department. Stay tuned for the Arts Magazine.